This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Well, the human body has a natural balance and state of poise that is affected by surroundings, often in negative ways. We all develop habits as we mature from childhood and our bodies become heavier and more awkward. Over time, these habits add pronounced stress, which affect breathing, posture, attitude, and most importantly, comfort. Our next guest is Julia Calder. She is a Park City resident, and she is a teacher of the Alexander Technique. The Alexander Technique teaches students to learn to free their bodies of tension, stress, and pain brought on by daily activities and habits. And welcome, Julia Calder. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Julia, when did you move to town and bring the Alexander Technique with you?
Well, I just moved to Park City in June, and I love it here. It's just so amazing. It's like a dream come true to be here. So, just recently.
So if you could just give us an overview. I know that the Alexander Technique is about changing up the habits that we carry, whether it's in our posture or various ways that we carry our body, that cause us pain. And this is sort of about reprogramming those habits. Mm-hmm. Can you expand on that?
Yeah. So the Alexander Technique is a way to learn to pay attention to how we do what we do. Because a lot of times when we have injuries, they can be made worse by just daily movements of sitting and standing and bending. And there's many times a good amount of interference that happens through the head, neck, and back as we're doing simple everyday stuff. And so in Alexander lessons, we start to become familiar with what are my habits? Because typically we know about our posture because that's something that people have mentioned to us as we grow up and go along with our mom and dad. People say, put your shoulders back and things like that. But in the Alexander work, we learn to notice what creates that posture, because posture is created by the way that we move through space. So in lessons, we work on sitting and standing and walking, kind of regular old daily activities. And then if I have people come who do certain things like athletics or singing, then I can work with them directly on how they're doing that. And we can start to notice, gosh, there might be a little bit of tightening in the person's neck or a little bit of holding in the shoulders. And so you start to learn how to undo that excess tension.
I'm curious as to why I have never heard about the Alexander Technique before. I've heard all sorts of other protocols and programs that I would put in the category of having greater body awareness, spatial awareness, how you move, functional mobility, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And I've never heard of this one. And you've been practicing it for 20 years, so that's curious to me. Is there a reason I haven't heard about it?
Well, you know, it is something that is really well known in the arts. So if you're a musician, if you're an actor, it's something that you would study in college because it's offered as a class usually. And then recently, well, I guess it was not too recently, about 11 years ago, they did a study in the British Medical Journal about it. And they compared massage, Alexander Technique, and exercise for back pain. And Alexander Technique a year later was shown to be more helpful than those other things in terms of people being able to continue to have less pain in their back. So, but as far as why people haven't heard of it as much, I think it's just because it's a real experiential thing. And if you come and have a lesson, then I feel like it's something that's hard to describe, almost like if you're trying to describe a symphony and somebody hasn't heard music before. So, but it's pretty well known. Like I moved here from Los Angeles, and there's a number of teachers and a lot of people study it. And in New York and in England, because that's where Alexander did a lot of his work.
Well, tell us a little bit about Alexander, the origins of this technique, and also how you came into contact with it prior to 20 years ago when you became a practitioner.
Sure. Well, Alexander was born in Australia in 1869, a long time ago, and he had a problem with his voice. So he loved doing Shakespearean recitation, And he kept losing his voice all the time, and he couldn't figure out why. So he did what we would all do. He went to the doctor. He spoke and said, "What can I do? I'm losing my voice." And the doctor told him to just rest his voice and not speak, which he did. But then when he went to recite on stage, he would lose his voice. So he wanted to start to figure out why, like, what am I doing that's causing me to lose my voice? And so he did something which is pretty special, which is instead of continuing to find experts and ask for advice and get more info on what was wrong, he decided that he was going to stop and observe himself and see what he noticed as he was speaking. Because he thought, well, it must be something that I'm doing when I'm talking that's causing me to lose my voice. So he noticed that he had some habits of when he would breathe in, he would kind of tighten his neck a little bit. He would go like that and gasp for air. And eventually, over an extended period of observing himself in mirrors and paying attention to himself, he figured out that he was tightening and compressing his neck and gasping for breath, and that caused him to lose his voice. And so once he figured out those habit patterns of doing too much before he spoke, his vocal trouble went away and he could speak really freely and easily, and he was able to get back to his acting. So that was really how he discovered the technique. And just to give you a picture of what it is, if you all were to come and study it in your lesson, we would work with simple everyday activities like sitting and standing and bending and walking. And then I work with people on a table just to help relax their back a little bit. And it's hands-on, so the teacher guides you through those movements. But I would say one way that it's really special in terms of comparing it to other things is that in other systems, they're about what to do and how to do it. So, like, if you go to a physical therapist, they will tell you, do these exercises. If you're an Alexander teacher, people come and you help them to learn what not to do and how to prevent it. So
my question is, mm-hmm. then, do you identify what people are doing wrong by looking at the soft tissue, at the musculature, or by just looking at the movement, uh-huh. or by even listening to the breath? I know what you're going to say, all of the above, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we do watch people move. So moving through a simple everyday thing, like if you're going to sit in a chair and stand up from a chair, and then we use our hands to guide the person. And so as you're working with an Alexander teacher, you have a different experience of just moving more easily and more freely. An example would be, like, right now as we're sitting here, we can see what we notice about ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Like, I would ask everyone who's out there to just stop for a moment and observe yourself as you're sitting and listening and see what you can tell about what you're doing. Because usually we might be leaning to one side or leaning to the other side, or typically we have habits where we really do things a similar way a lot of the time. And so, so that would be, we would work with checking in, starting to notice. So what do you guys notice as you're sitting there? Is there anything that you observe about yourself?
Well, I notice that I definitely have one shoulder that's, I'm propping up so that it's higher than the other one. And I think that's probably from a past injury. But uh-huh. doing that is probably not helping create the soft tissue to support it, uh-huh. is what I'm thinking. Uh-huh. Or it's kind of creating a big knot right here in my neck.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's really good that you already have the observational skills to notice that you have more weight on one side than the other side sometimes. And so in Alexander lessons, we gain more and more observational skills of ourselves. And we start to notice, every time I stand up from a chair, I tighten my neck, I tighten my shoulders, I compress my head back. So, and it's something that can really be helpful for athletes, because it can improve your form a great deal, because you gain a much greater awareness of how you're doing what you're doing. It's easier to talk about what the Alexander technique isn't, in a way. Mm-hmm. It's not somebody telling you, do this, do that, hold your shoulders this way, you know, because that's just holding on. And we all know that if we try to sit up straight, you know, it's not comfortable. And after a little bit, we're going to end up just going back to our habit anyway, when we're not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And so when we study the Alexander technique, we start to learn about how to use our thinking. So thinking of letting our neck muscles undo, thinking of letting our head release away from our shoulders, our back lengthening and widening. And we have the hands-on guidance of a teacher, so it makes it a really just easier, different kinesthetic experience of doing the activity that we're doing.
But is it directed by pain? I mean, uh-huh. In Lynn's example, if yeah. she said, wow, I have a knot in my neck or my shoulder, I really mm-hmm. feel that it's painful because I'm sitting this way. But what if she's sitting that way and she feels open and fluid and relaxed uh-huh. and she has the awareness to relax the muscles?
Uh-huh. That's a good point. Well, there really is no right way to do things. It definitely, say we do tend to lean toward one side. Over time, that's definitely going to create discomfort throughout the side that we're putting more weight on, for sure. But we're in the Alexander work, we're not trying to sit a certain way. Instead, we want to just be noticing how we're doing what we're doing. And then, like you were saying, Tim, within any position, we can think and undo. So even if I'm sitting on the couch like a lump watching TV, well, maybe I can just notice myself a little bit and think of widening across my shoulders and letting my back rest and lengthening. I would really encourage you guys, if you ever have time, to come and have a lesson, because it's sort of like trying to describe music, you know, to somebody who hasn't heard it before.
Right.
Because it's a real kinesthetic experience that you have as you have a lesson.
I'm curious. I saw in some of the literature on your website that you talk about scoliosis.
Yeah.
And that is something that I have. And then uh-huh. I passed on a heavy dose of it to my son. But with him, I've noticed that working on he wound up with this wonderful trainer mm-hmm. who had him work on strengthening just certain muscle groups. Mm-hmm. And working on the soft tissue made all the difference in the world. Boy, he was so much straighter uh-huh. after, if he just does these certain exercises. And
yeah.
so I'm wondering, you know, I know that scoliosis can be straightened a lot, even though you have this intrinsic, deformity of the spine.
Yeah.
How do you deal with scoliosis?
Yeah. Well, you know, in LA, there was a orthopedic guy who would send me all of his scoliosis patients. And I have scoliosis myself, and I wore a back brace during high school. And when we have scoliosis, our tendency, as we do our everyday activities, is to compress further into the curves that we have going on. Mm-hmm. When we have Alexander lessons, we learn how to think and notice what our habits are. And if my tendency is always to cross one leg over the other or compress down, my tendency is to compress down to the left. When I would work with Dr. Grogan's patients, a cool thing was that they were x-rayed before they took lessons, because that's just what he does in his practice. He x-rays people when they come in. And then 3 months later, they would have lessons a couple times a week. And 3 months later, they would x-ray them again, and their curves would improve. And the Alexander work really helps us with learning to think, learning to notice. And if you're someone who has scoliosis, which I can speak to personally because I have scoliosis, a lot of times you're not even aware that throughout your day, you're compressing further into the curvature. So yes, it's definitely something that is really, really helpful with just learning to work within our structure.
Mm, okay. Tell us about the logistics of how we find you and how you go about, would you would it be one lesson or would it be a series? How does all that work?
Yeah. Well, it's something that you have to study over time. So it's like music lessons, where if you went to one music lesson, you would maybe learn a little, but you wouldn't really learn how to play a concerto or anything. So you come for lessons once or twice a week over a period of months. And it really is a psychophysical re-education. So we relearn how to move through noticing what our habits are. But it does take time. So when people call and ask me about lessons, I worry that I'm scaring them away, because a lot of times I'll tell them, well, it's going to take a number of months for you to change your habits, just because we've had our habits forever. So they don't go away real quick. But it depends on what people are coming for, because sometimes people come to get rid of pain. And so if they come a few times and they feel much better, then they feel like they don't need to come back. But generally, it takes time to really change how you're doing what you're doing, which is what's really special about the Alexander work, because we're looking at how we're doing what we're doing, almost like we're the driving instructor instead of the mechanic. We're not just working with symptoms. We're working with helping people notice what's creating those symptoms.
And are people watching themselves in a mirror so that they are aware of these movements, or is it the instructor, the teacher, who is with the hands-on and the guidance, identifying the habits that need to be adjusted?
Well, you know, that's such a good question. The thing that happens really is that I do have a mirror, and so sometimes I'll use the mirror and I'll have people look in the mirror. But the main thing when I'm working with people who are and I want to help them notice what they're doing, I might tell them a little bit about what they're doing, but it's more like I'm helping them through the hands-on experience to discover where they're tightening and what's going on so that they can undo that. Because if I tell them, you're really holding in your shoulders and the typical way that we would expect to happen if we go in for a lesson, then the person, generally speaking, will try to fix it. So they'll directly try to like push their shoulders down or something like that. So it's more like an awareness that you gain through the hands-on experience with the teacher. And then you yourself start to notice, oh my goodness, I really tend to tighten my neck when I go to sit down or stand up.
Julia Calder is our guest, and she is a teacher of the Alexander Technique. You can find her at alexandertechniqueparkcity.com. Is that the best way to contact you?
Yes, that's perfect.
And there's all kinds of articles and a wealth of information on the website. So really interesting. I have one final question quickly. How does this compare to the Feldenkrais method, which I am peripherally aware of, and I know that people in this community have been turned on to the Feldenkrais method.
Sure. Well, generally speaking, the Alexander technique is something that is meant to be applied directly to activity. So I work with people running, I work with people doing karate, I work with people doing whatever it is that they do, like sitting at your desk typing. And in Feldenkrais, it's my understanding, and I can't speak to this fully because I've only had a few lessons, but it is basically working with people doing non-habitual movements, lying down. And in Alexander lessons, we work with lying down, but we also work with helping people to learn to notice how they're moving through space as they're doing their activities.
Okay. Sounds great. Julia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure.